Welcome to Vital Voices. Our guest today is Dr. Jane McMoran, Director of Appalachian Scottish and Irish Studies in the Department of Appalachian Studies at East Tennessee State University. In 1992, Dr. McMoran won the United States National Scottish Fiddling Championship. One of her teachers was Scottish fiddler Ron Ganella, who lived from 1930 to 1994. Ron Ganella helped repopularize Scottish fiddle tunes dating back to the 18th and 19th centuries. Dr. McMoran tells his story in a new book, The Legacy of Ron Ganella, Scottish Fiddler, published by the University of Tennessee Press. Dr. Jane McMoran, welcome to Vital Voices.
Thank you, Fred.
We're talking today about your new book, The Legacy of Ron Ganella. Tell me about the first time you met this Scottish fiddler.
First time I met Ganella was in the mid-80s in Alexandria, Virginia. My very first Scottish fiddling competitions, and he was one of the judges over from Scotland. So that was my first encounter.
You went on to take classes with him.
I did. I was really impressed by the comments he put on the judging sheet and, you know, his suggestions, and just in a conversation, I just kind of casually said, if I ever come to Scotland, could you give me some lessons? So that's how it started.
What kind of teacher was he? Describe his teaching method and style.
Well, I think he had the traits that most good teachers have. I think he was very enthusiastic about the music, encouraging, but also challenging. You know, he had a very dry sense of humor, which always was appreciated, but you had to be really quick and sharp, or you wouldn't notice what he was saying. I really went over to study with him primarily to get the feel of jigs. I felt okay on other types of Scottish tunes, but never really felt like I got the feel of the jigs, and he was really known for his inimitable jig playing. So a lot of the time was spent working on that particular type of tune.
This may be a good point in the interview to define some terms. First of all, a jig versus what is a reel?
Sure. Well, they're both dance tunes. Jigs are in 6/8 time, so you have groups of three notes, a reel, groups of four notes, so it just gives a different, you know, a different timing and different feel to the dance tune.
There's another term I came across in the book several times that I would think most people don't know unless they happen to be Scottish fiddlers or huge fans of the music, and that is strathspey.
That's right. And this is the type of tune that is really unique to Scotland. It's characterized by a couple of rhythms. Scottish fiddlers often refer to them as teetums and dumpties. Sometimes you may have heard of a Scottish snap. So it's a very distinctive rhythm, has a lot of lift and drive.
Do you know where that word came from originally?
Well, Strath means valley. It refers to the Spey River Valley, kind of in northeast Scotland.
All right, back to Ron Ganella. Tell me about his own training as a fiddler and a violinist. Was it self-taught? Was it classroom teaching, one-on-one, or a combination of all that?
I think it was a combination of all that, but he did have classical lessons. His family settled in Dundee over on the east coast of Scotland, and he studied with a man named Routledge Bell all the way from beginning of his lessons up through high school. He played in the high school orchestra, I think for a period of time, even led the orchestra. So he was classically trained, but that training didn't go past college, or high school, I guess it was. Yeah, I think he played Scottish fiddling all along with his classical training, though. His mother, Lizzie Duncan, was an avid Scottish country dancer, and he went to a lot of dances with his mom and very early on started to play in dance bands, even formed a couple of his own. So I think it was sort of a parallel track of classical training and Scottish fiddling.
Yeah, if folks look at his last name, Ganella, they may say, that does not look like a traditional Scottish name. Talk about his Italian heritage.
Right. So he was an Italo-Scot. You know, there was a period of time, late 1880s, really up till 1920, where there was a substantial migration of Italians from Tuscany. And many of them settled in the town of Dundee. It definitely had an Italian flavor at the turn of the century. And so he came from that lineage. His mother was Scottish. His grandfather on his mother's side was a shepherd in Perthshire and rumored to be a fiddler, although I haven't really been able to pin that down yet. So definitely had both the Italian and the Scottish heritage.
Are there traces of that Italian influence still today in Dundee?
You know, there was, at the time the Ganellas lived there, there was the La Scala Cinema, there was the Lockheed Strathspey and Reel Society. So I think there was a definite Italian influence, at least at the turn of the century. Yeah. With the migration of so many Italians, Ron's grandfather actually started... was called Ganella and Sons Fine Art Salon.
Right.
And imported Irish sculpture. And then they also worked in plaster modeling. So an interesting heritage.
And there's a picture of that building in your book.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting parallel considering his Italian heritage and the fact that the fiddle got into Scotland from Italy originally.
That's very true. That's very true. And he played on an Italian fiddle as well.
There's a sentence in this book that I'd like for you to comment on. There are many of them that are very noteworthy, but this one in particular, Ganella participated in a lifelong dialogue between musical text and social context, especially the latter part of that sentence. Explain what that means.
Right. Well, I think that really gets to the heart of my research, that the meaning, the value, the importance of Ganella's body of work really varies depending on which socio-ideological language is spoken, which community of listeners you ask about his contributions. In other words, different communities of listeners, to use Stanley Fish's literary reference, reader response theory, he called these interpretive communities. And so that's kind of the heart of my work, where I tried to identify and interrogate three communities of listeners to try to use that as the framework for sort of judging Ganella's legacy and his contributions to the art of Scottish fiddling.
Ganella played all kinds of music, but in reading this book over and over, I see that he was largely responsible for the popularity in the 20th century of 18th and 19th century Scottish tunes.
That's right. I think that he is really credited with reinvigorating the 18th and 19th century sort of Scottish fiddle canon. There were very few recordings. There were hardly any publications that included that music. And so Ganella went back into the dusty archives and unearthed an awful lot of these tunes by Gow and Marshall and Skinner and lesser-known composers as well. And then also with his recordings, I think he's kind of credited with repopularizing jig playing as well. And again, just a complete lack of collections that included jigs were being published, and very few recordings of fiddlers playing jigs. Mm-hmm. And so his recordings heavily feature jigs, and his tune collections that have been published include a wealth of jigs as well.
And we know the composers of a lot of these 18th and 19th century tunes, they aren't all anonymous at all. And you mentioned one of those people, Neil Gow. Tell me about him.
Right. Neil Gow, the legendary Scottish fiddler and fiddle composer. You know, the 18th century was really the heyday of Scottish fiddling. There was about 100 years of really charismatic Scottish fiddlers who, you know, were outstanding players and very prolific composers, and Neil Gow was one of those. There's a lot of folksy tales that surround Gow's life, and I think that he's best known for his bowing style, which gives a lot of lift and drive to Strathspeys in particular.
And Ganella played on at least one of his instruments.
He did, yes. One of his recordings, he played an instrument, one of Gow's instruments, one of William Marshall's, and one of James Scott Skinner's, which would have been very interesting because Skinner played a Stroh fiddle. It was one that had the big horn, you know, attached on the end. It looks like it's, you know, better for drinking whiskey rather than, than playing fiddle music.
Ron Ganella became a teacher sort of in the middle of his life, but he also achieved commercial success as a fiddler. Tell me about his relationship with BBC Scotland, how that got started, and the programs that he did for that network.
Right. He had about a 30-year career with BBC Scotland. He started with radio. It's an interesting sort of evolution there. BBC Scotland was really concerned that people of Scotland became more cultured. And so they were very guarded in who played on their broadcasts. They really had two different tracks. One was for fiddlers who had a very formal, sort of learned, refined style, and then other sort of self-taught fiddlers. And Ron auditioned twice. He was successful, and BBC really endorsed him. In fact, I think that their endorsement really set him up as, you know, one of the very first commercially successful fiddlers in Scotland. As I said, he had numerous radio programs, but I think his best known series was called On the Fiddle. And there were six episodes of that where he would bring in a famous Scottish musician, usually a fiddler, but not always. And he would do an interview. There would be conversation sort of interspersed with playing as well. So I think that was his best known contribution to BBC. But he was on the network so much that I think it really became a household word.
And we're going to hear now the opening of one of his On the Fiddle programs.
Hello, glad you could join us this Sunday evening. Well, tonight I'm going to be talking to a very old friend of mine in the world of fiddle music from Dundee, Angus Fitchett.
Good evening.
Welcome, Angus.
Good evening.
Nice to have you here.
Back to On the Fiddle. You go into some detail in the book, and I thought this was fascinating, analyzing the set, analyzing the graphics that were used in producing the program. Describe the meaning and the significance of those elements.
Right. Well, it was very refined. I think that's the image that BBC Scotland wanted to convey with the set itself, what could have looked like maybe almost a hunting lodge in Scotland. You know, it had very ornate chairs. It had a fireplace with a fire, in the background. On the mantle was a bronze horse and two fiddles. So I think it was, you know, it was very genteel. It was, you know, it was supposed to evoke a certain feeling. Even the script that they used, you know, the font that was used, you know, carpet, the colors that were chosen, the font that was used, everything was refinement. So I think it was trying to, you know, put Scottish fiddling as legitimate almost, you know what I mean, rather than just a, you know, some sort of a fiddle,
yeah,
country fiddle, sure, sort of thing.
And he dressed a lot of times in traditional Highland attire.
That's right. Especially he did one program on site about Neil Gow, and he was certainly in Highland attire with the kilt and all that goes along with that.
How extensive is his list of recordings?
He has about, I believe, 16 solo recordings. These were usually accompanied by piano. And then 6 dance records that he did for the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society. Then I think there were 2 additional dance albums. He's been featured on lots and lots of these compilation albums. I think to last count, about 35 of those. So he was pretty prolific when it came to recording.
And was able to come to the United States and judge fiddling competitions.
That's right, he did.
One of which you won.
Well, that's right. Uh-huh. He judged the U.S. National competition, I think, 5 or 6 times. You know, he was really viewed as a authoritative figure, you know, very knowledgeable about Scottish fiddling. And he first started coming to the U.S. in the late 1980s, kind of during this heritage revival, you know, where people were really looking for their roots. And there wasn't a whole lot known about Scottish fiddling at that time. So he was welcomed with open arms, you know, really had a major influence on performance practice of Scottish fiddling in the United States. A very important figure to American fiddlers. Yeah.
How does the judging work at a competition like that?
Well, I have been judging several myself. You judged on a lot of different factors, on execution, on interpretation, on ornamentation, on intonation, on bowing, just a real wide list of technical elements.
Jane McMorrin, congratulations on the publication of The Legacy of Ron Ganella, and thanks for joining us for Vital Voices.
Thank you, Fred. Enjoyed the conversation.
The book is The Legacy of Ron Ganella, Scottish Fiddler, by Dr. Jane McMorrin, published by the University of Tennessee Press. For Vital Voices, I'm Fred Sausman.